So in January, the first time I taught in January, I spoke on 1 John 1:5. Do you guys remember that? It was about walking in the light. Yeah, and so we're going to kind of revisit that because verse 2, there's kind of a, it's a natural transition in verse or in chapter 2 of 1 John. And so we're gonna back up and go kind of through the fifth verse again. Can we do that? Is that allowed? Can I back up? Cool. So verse 5 of 1 John says this, 1 John 1, this is the message we have heard from him, meaning Jesus, and declare to you, meaning us, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's that community thing, right? And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him, Jesus, or God, out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And where we're going to be at today is 1 John 2:1-2. John says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father, God, in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. You guys know what sin is? We're going back to basics, baby. Missing Greek scholar. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is God set up this beautiful thing that he calls creation. And we are just a portion of his creation. There's these other entities that are called angels. You guys familiar with that? Okay. This is going to get a little weird. He creates these angels, and so sin enters the world through, actually not enters the world necessarily, it enters creation through an angel. You guys know the angel's name? Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Okay? And so what this angel had done was said, God, your way is okay, I'm gonna do it better. I'm going to do it my way. And he misses the mark. He misses his place in creation. He misses... Is there ever a doubt that Lucifer is male or female? I've never even thought about this. No one ever corrects me when I talk about the devil as male. Anytime I talk about the Holy Spirit, they're like, it could be feminine. It is feminine. But the devil? Has anybody figured this out? Because I just want to know. I don't know. Food for thought. Okay? So anyway, you see sin. You see the first sin. You see the first missing the mark of as far as creation goes, as far as what God had created, as far as what God had set up. You see that enter the world through Lucifer. You see that enter the world through this angel who said, man, God, your way, nah. And then you see this creation of the world. You see God creating heaven and earth. You see him creating light. You see him creating all of creation. And you see God set up this beautiful relationship with us. And it talks about us, which the angels don't have this boast, is that we're created in his image. We're created in his likeness, in God's likeness. And so God sets this plan up on earth and sets this creation up on earth. And the very first man and the very first woman who you know is Adam and Eve, right? Some of you don't know these stories. That's why we're kind of going back to basics. Adam and Eve are the first people that God creates. And Adam and Eve have everything you could ever want. Adam and Eve have this beautiful relationship with God, something that we don't have. They have a very close relationship where God comes down and walks among them, and God comes down and just shoots the breeze. And so you have this, and you also have this tree. And you guys, if you remember anything from a few years ago, if any of you have been with us that long, Matt, I mean, we started off a teaching series, and he talked about this good and this evil. And Adam and Eve had the only thing in the garden is this choice. You can do God's way, or you have this tree of knowledge. And that's the only tree I'm asking you not to eat off of. And some people look at that and say, God, you're a game player. Why would you do this? And God says, because I want you to serve me willingly out of your own heart, out of your own desire to be a part of this creation that I set up. So he puts this tree in the garden and he says, do not eat this fruit. I imagine it was awesome fruit, like a watermelon tree. I don't know. Watermelon grew on trees. I don't know, I didn't do so hot in high school. but I imagine this awesome watermelon tree. And God said, don't touch it. And you know, because the fruit's huge. You're like, whoa, I gotta have me some of that. It's not like an apple, tiny. Nah. So they go and they say, you know, this tree, you know, he told us not to take this fruit. He told us not to do this. But man, it's really enticing. And then you see the first entry of sin, the first bucking of God's creation through Lucifer. You see this represented in the serpent in the garden. And you see this serpent say, hey, you know, is this what God really said? You know, did he really say? Did he really mean? And they start questioning and they say, well, you know what? I don't know. Is it? And so you know the rest of the story. Eve takes this fruit and says it's good. Man, this is good. Adam follows suit, takes this fruit and says, man, this is good. This is way better than what God had for us. And then you see from that point on this landslide of sin entering the world. And sin is missing the mark. Thank you, Greek scholar. Who said that? Raise your hand. Or Lucas. You got to get up here and teach, man. Lucas has a fan club. Shake what your mother gave you, Lucas. So you see sin enter in the world and flood the world from that point on. And you see this break of how we were intended to live. You see this break on God walking with us and just loving us directly and this beautiful system that he set up, because we are awesome as humans. We are awesome as people. And we generally know the way and what we need to be doing, right? Nobody's sure enough to say yes. And so what's beautiful is when you look in the Greek, and you look in the definitions and you look in how it unpacks it, it gives it this meaning. It says, missing the mark, hence, guilt, comma, sin, comma, a fault or failure in an ethical sense or a sinful deed. It goes on to say this, sin forfeiture, because missing the mark is the brand of sin that emphasizes its self-originated, self-empowered nature. It's not originated or empowered by God. Can I read that again? Sin, forfeiture, because of missing the mark, is the brand of sin that emphasizes its self-originated, self-empowered nature. It is not originated or empowered by God. That is what sin is. I have a lot of emphasized, self-originated, self-empowered nature. Do you? Please ask. Yes. If God created Lucifer, did he know he was going to sin? I would say yes. He created a creation that has free will. And so that free will, he wants you to choose to be a part of his creation is the best answer I can give you. Because if he created us to just love him and have no sin, is that really love? Make sense? Anybody has a question, just let me know, okay? Raise your hand or yell, because I can't really see from the back. So I have a lot of self-originated, self-emphasized stuff that goes on within me. And when it was put that way in the Greek, I thought, whoa. That I can identify with instead of a churchy word like sin, instead of a word that really doesn't mean much in this day and age. And what's beautiful about Scripture is it never says, you know, some of you are sinners and some of you are good because you hold a good moral standard. It never really talks about morality like that. It levels the playing field and says all have sinned. All have missed the mark. All have had these moments of self-empowered nature that lacks the empowerment of God's design, that lacks the empowerment of God's original intention for us. All of us have that. You share it. I share it. And so this thing called Christianity, this thing that was, this revolution that was sparked by God's design, God came after Adam and Eve and started making a ton of rules for his people. 613. I'm asking our Jewish scholar in the audience. He made 613 rules by which these people were supposed to follow. These people were supposed to somehow attain and be safe with. And it was stupid rules, terrible rules, like not eating pork. Can I get an amen? Amen. I thought, God, come on, man. What are you thinking? Bacon lovers in the house? Like not eating shellfish. Lobster? I hear lobster goes good with pork. So he made some crazy rules, and he made these just wild. I mean, you read some of the 613 laws that God put in place for his people to protect them, to hopefully steer them in the right path. And during that time, God had this whole thing worked out of how sin was going to be eradicated. And during that time of these 613 rules, God had all of these rules on how you had to atone, how you had to rectify or reconcile your sin, your missing the mark, your self-empowered, your way being better than God's way, by killing animals, by burning animals on this altar, by shedding of blood. And that's the system that God had set up. But all the while, God had this plan in place that his son Jesus was going to come and take the place of these animals, of this bloodshed, of everything. And it was going to just be it. It was going to be the final. And so you see Jesus into the scene, and Jesus walks with his people like God used to walk with his people. That hadn't happened since Adam and Eve. You see Jesus say some pretty radical things on, hey, you know what? If you're rich and you're not taking care of the poor, you are wrong. If you've got money and somebody doesn't have money, you need to help them out. I'm sorry, Republicans. That is as political as I will get ever in my life. He said some crazy things like, you know what? If a Roman soldier would come and abuse you by asking you to carry his stuff for him in a direction that you're not even headed, you need to do so And then you need to go over and beyond what this Roman soldier is asking you to do, even though it's an abusive system, even though it's a system that is basically making you a pack mule. He said things when slavery was a big issue. Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, treat your slaves well. He said things like, turn the other cheek. He said things like, forgive. So Jesus comes and he rocks the boat and he walks with man and he says, you know what? I am here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to show you how to love. And the way I got to do that is to die. The way I have to do that is to take the place of these sacrifices that have gone on all these years so you can be in right standing with your Creator. You don't have to do this anymore. All you have to do is believe in what I've done for you. That's it. Believing requires an action, though, doesn't it? Believing requires change, doesn't it? Believing requires us to stop living this self-emphasized, self-originated, self-empowered nature and restore the system to how it was, Creator, creation. And as I said before we took communion, He created us to love us and for us to love Him. By Him, I'm talking about God. God created us to love us. And for us to love Him, and for us to love everyone else. And so this action that happens that follows this desire to no longer be self-serving, self-empowered nature, to no longer have this, to no longer do this, requires us to stop sinning. I love how they just put that in there. My brothers and sisters, I write this to you so that you just stop sinning. Pretty easy, right? He goes on to say in verse 2, 1 through 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father, God, in our defense, and that's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the whole world. And so if we stop sinning and we start actually doing what God's asking us to do through the scripture that we read, and we start taking God seriously. What's interesting is I have a lot of talks with people, and I have a lot of people in my office, and I have a lot of friends who are either new to Jesus, don't know Jesus, or have known Jesus for a long time, and they all share this one thing in common. Man, my life's in the crapper at this point. And it's not always in the crapper, but there are days, and they all share this. My life's in the crapper, and I'm doing this, and I'm angry, and I'm mad, and then you say, okay, well, how does that square with Scripture? That's the one question I ask. How does this square with what you read in Scripture? And the majority of the time, they say, it doesn't, but I can't make it say that. I can't live like that. And so some of you this morning are here because you are trying to live this life that does not square, that does not line up with Scripture. And no matter your level of morality, no matter how well you think you're doing, you still needed Jesus just like me. You still needed the blood of Jesus to cover your stupidity just like me. And just like me, it requires change of your heart. There was a time in my life where I masturbated relentlessly to pornography. Now we're going to lose half the church on this again. There is a time that stopped. So I know this sin nature. I know this very self-empowered life. I live it. I lived it. I continue to live it in other areas of my life. And it's not impossible to start overcoming this thing. When you hear John say, stop. Stop it. Stop sinning. I write this so you don't do this anymore. It's not this far off, unattainable goal because Jesus did all the hard work for us. Jesus said, hey, you know what? I know you're a screw up. I know you like yourself more than you should. And I'm willing to die for that. I'm willing to take the abuse for that. So that you can be in right relationship with your Creator. I'm willing to restore those things for you. Now you share in this with me. For those that say, hey, you know, God, you are who you say you are. I believe in what Jesus did. And I want to live my life for you. There is an activity that should happen that should follow those words. There is a life that should happen that should follow those words. There is a love that should grow within you that should follow those words. There is activities that need to stop that should follow those words. There's activities that need to start that should follow those words. And it's taken me a long time to figure that out because I was a pastor's kid. And church is something I just did really well. It's interesting. Do you guys remember Mark Scott, who is here, who spoke January for Winter Whitewash? He was awesome, wasn't he? Mark Scott has a friend named Marion Conover. And he's a generalist counselor. I don't know what that means. He counsels in general? I don't know. I didn't look it up. But his friend said this, since I became a Christian, I do anything I want to. Since I became a Christian, I do anything I want to. The only difference is that Jesus changed all my want to's. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you're curious about this life. I sat in this incredible Celebrate Recovery group in Casper, Wyoming. And I went to their I'm new here, I don't know what to do class, where they plug people in. And there was this whole group of people. And they went by and we watched this horrible, cheesy video. It was really bad. And I thought, crap, I'm in the wrong class. I came to this dumb class. So we're watching this really terrible video, and it was just super, super cheesy. And then we started going around the room, and we started hearing people's stories. And every single story talked about this self-empowered, self-originated nature. And it got to this one woman, and she said, I've been sober for 20 years. And if this life is what I got sober for, this is awful. And she meant it. And what she was missing, what she was looking for, is this very thing that Jesus did. This very thing that she decided she didn't know about necessarily. She didn't know what she was missing. She didn't know what was available. And that'll always stick with me. If I got sober for this, man. But if you got sober for Jesus and started living a life beyond yourself, and started making your life a life that loves everyone around you and loves God most of all, your life is going to look drastically different. So these are the things, as we live into community, as we talk about who we are as a church, as we talk about what Whitewater is, you and me, do you think sin affects your life here in the community? Do you think sin affects other people's lives here in this community when you're just living a self-empowered, leaving God in the corner life. When I was on the computer and living an awesome life, like you just heard about, in a really grotesque, disgusting manner, that weighed on me every single day. That made me become not real with people. That made me not the open book that you get appreciate. I don't know why that word was trying to come out of my mouth. Appreciate me! That made me hide. That made me not in right relationship with you or my home church back home. That made me not in right relationship with my father and my mother. That made me not in right relationship with my brother and my sisters. That made me not definitely in right relationship with my wife, who should have been one of my strongest communities, who should have been my biggest opportunity to show God's love to. Man. And I live a self-empowered life that does not reflect anything that I read in the scripture. There's lights. And it's awesome because I'm not alone. You all are sinners right along with me. You are all on the same playing field. You need Jesus. Jesus took it on the chin for you. Jesus died for you. You need Jesus. And if you have Jesus and you've lived a life like I've lived in the self-empowered circle and cycle for so long, it's amazing. I think there was a point where Satan fed me pornography at 11 years old. And I said, that's good. And then he left me to my own. He said, I don't have to try with you anymore. Good luck. Have fun. And I did. So some of you probably share this story. Some of you are asking who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. He's your hero. He's your champion. He took place of your stupidity. Because he loves you. And he desires so much for you to live beyond this life that you want to continue to live. If you read something in scripture and you say, yeah, but, man, double check yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Man, my mind is just filled with random spastic quotes. But that's true. That's truth. So guys, community, as we live with one another, as we live out this open honesty, you probably have heard more open honesty from me in the last two Sundays than you want to. But as we do this thing together called church, and we're able to live in this light that John talks about, and we're able to stop sinning, and I'm telling you, it's possible. I'm telling the life you live now is possible to have God. And you will come out on the other side of this. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you it's easy. But it is possible to stop. It is possible for God to continue to refine your character. What happened to me was pornography was this acting out and this thing that I, you know, thought was the it, but that was not it. I have a whole level of control that I love. I have a whole slew of issues. And it manifested most through pornography. Some of you it's drinking, some of you it's anger, some of you it's pride, some of you it's spiritual pride. But I'm telling you, it's possible to quit. it's possible for God's redemption to cover that, and it's possible for you to not live in that cycle, in that life anymore. So together, in community, together, you and me, we're going to change the world. Amen. We're going to change the world. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, know that we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. And who is that? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice, not you. There's nothing you can do. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. When we recognize that, our view of other people is going to change. When we recognize everyone's need for a Savior, our world is going to change. Our life will change. That's what you're buying into. God, we love you. And I can't even fathom why you do what you do. Aaron raised a good point. If God knew that sin would enter the world, if you knew that sin would enter the world through your creation, why in the world? So it's things like this that we chew on. It's things like this that we trip on. It's things like this that we question and we ask. But God, those questions are even kind of voided by what Jesus did for us. It's not wrong to ask those questions. It's not wrong to seek answers like that. But God, you said, I get it. I understand it. And I already made a way that conquers that, that destroys death, that destroys your way of living for yourself. And so God, as we comprehend that, as we try to live that, as we try to accept that, as we try to own your grace and your mercy and your love and your desire for us, God, I pray that the knowledge of change being possible is on the forefront of our minds. God, that it is possible to not sin in the ways that we've continued to sin in. It is possible to live a life where you guide our steps, where you call the shots, where you make it all happen and make it all possible. It is possible. May that be on the forefront of our minds. God, for those of us in our continued cycle of sin, for those of us in our disobedience to what we read in Scripture, what we see, and then we say, yeah, but you know what? I want to do what I want to do. God, break us. Every single one of us, break us. Shout into our deaf ears. Shout into our unbelieving, unrepentant hearts. God, may everybody give you that permission this morning. God, may we follow your word and what we read in it with obedience. And may we call others to do the same. God, thank you for this community. Thank you for Whitewater Christian Church. Thank you for the people that attend here and continue to attend here and continue to leave here and go and change the world as a result of just living out an honest Christian faith with one another. God, for those of us that do not know you yet, for those of us that are trying to figure you out, and still aren't sure if we want to sign on to this Jesus thing. God, I know you're at work. I know you're calling. And so I ask, God, that those people in this room today, those people that have been in fellowship with us in the past, those people that continue to seek you, God, that they'll find you. Your word says they will. And I'm full aware that what I say here on a Sunday morning doesn't change lives, but it comes from you. You are that change. You are that love. You are that grace. You are that mercy that they need, that we all need. So God, may we all quit playing games as a community at Whitewater Christian Church. May we all quit running and hiding from you. May we greet what you have to say to our hearts this morning, what you have to say to our souls this morning, with brokenness and repentance. And may that spark change. A change that will change this world. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. We're going to continue on in John, and here's what I want you guys to be doing. Would you guys commit to reading 1 John with me? Would you guys read through it every week? I think it's a total of 3 pages. If you can't, you're illiterate, or you're just lazy. If you're illiterate, go get the YouVersion Bible app and listen to it. If you're lazy, man, turn Netflix off. Turn your Wii off, your Xbox, your PlayStation, your DS. Am I missing anything? If you're at my house, I have an NES still hooked up to my big screen. The only thing I don't like about it is I can't play Duck Hunt because the televisions they put out now don't respond well to the gun. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I don't have to hear the mockery of that dog in my sleep, so that's good. That's good. But guys, I'll say it. I've said it, and I'll say it again. I love you guys like crazy. And I'm glad to be in relationship with you. I'm glad to be in community with you. And I know where you're coming from because I've walked that road. Sometimes hand to hand with you. Sometimes I've walked it too hard on my own before I got here. So I don't come at a place of arrogance. I don't come at a place of not knowing what I'm talking about. I come at a place of a guy that's been broken. I come at a place of a guy that's needed Jesus just like you. Together we're going to change the world. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace, guys.